May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how often you've heard these words, "That's not fair." That's not fair. How often have you heard such words on a school playground or between two siblings at home, or even by an employee who did not receive an expected promotion, and even among spouses? That's not fair. That's not fair. One of the striking features of the life of Jesus is the variety of people that gathered around him. We could see this not only in respect to those who came to hear him, but also in the composition of his disciples. Among the disciples, we see Matthew, who was a tax collector. And tax collectors were hated in their time because they were seen as traitors and people who were oppressing their people. We also see Simon the Zealot. We also see Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. These and many others were among the immediate followers, disciples of Jesus. In our gospel lesson, we have what could be considered an awkward moment in the ministry of Jesus. Awkward in the sense that a Pharisee named Simon invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And while everyone was reclining at the table, a woman, known for her sinfulness, entered Simon's house and made her way to Jesus and then did some strange things. And I thought you would have also seen what she was doing as being totally strange. Perhaps she was not one of the invited guests, and there's no how Simon would have invited her. But she just made her way when she heard that Jesus was in town and came to hear and to see Jesus. In fact, the scripture says, as she stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. It was totally strange, and I'm sure you also agree with me that would have been the most strange thing to do in that kind of situation. But what happened was that when all of this happened, nobody said a word. But it got those present thinking, and some of them were saying things in their hearts. We could even hear Simon saying, "That's not fair. That's not fair. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who is touching him and who and the kind of woman she was. That she's a sinner." Everyone at the feast knew, including Simon, knew who the woman was and what he had done with her life. But none of them knew her struggles. None of them knew her cries. None of them knew her inner tears, her pains. They could only see the outward sinfulness of this woman. And look at this now. So what do you see? Can you answer that? What do you see? Huh? Now, what many of you are seeing, you are just seeing this. You are not seeing this. You are not seeing this. You are not even seeing this again. What you now see is this hat that I'm wearing. You are not even seeing that it's Elijah. And some might even say, how on earth is he wearing a hat in the church service? That's not done. And that's really what everybody sees now. I wish I could keep wearing this to the end of the service. But that would be a distraction because many people would just see this all through the service. But that was the kind of thing that happened in this case. They only saw the outward struggles of this woman, and they would define her by her sinfulness. So Simon said, how on earth would Jesus allow this woman to even come close to him? If he was truly a prophet, he shouldn't have done that. But he never knew that Jesus heard what he was saying, because he knows our inner conversations, the words we hardly speak out. They knew what she's been up to, but they never knew her struggles. But more to this, Simon knew the sins of this woman, but never acknowledged what he himself had not done. He could point to the sins of this woman, but he was not aware of what he himself had not done. And so Jesus said to him, ever since I came to your house, the common curses, kissing, you know, even washing my leg, which was a traditional thing to do, you never did any of those things. But this woman came and walked straight to me and began to do all of this. And Jesus said, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved so much. But that was not just the end. Jesus told the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The encouragement we have today as we listen to this word is that the word of blessing that Jesus said to the woman is still available for each of us today. That same word is still available for our world. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That word is still available for those who come to Jesus with repentance. Those who meet with Jesus not only discover who he is, but they also discover who they are themselves. No one in that community would have expected Simon the Pharisee, a man regarded as morally upright and socially acceptable, and a sinful woman to be in the same room. Yet they were both there, although for different reasons, but connected to Jesus. The same thing can be said about ourselves as a gathering community this morning. We are all different. Different in many ways. We all have our different stories, our different struggles, our different pains, our different joys. But we are all gathered here this morning, and we are here for a common purpose. And our purpose is to meet with Jesus, I suppose. But in meeting here this morning, we are also expected to find something about ourselves as we hear God's word and as we read and sing God's word. So it is not just a gathering to have fun, but a gathering to also discover not just about God, but to discover more about ourselves. The book of Jonah that was read to us is well known for God's miracles that occurred in the realm of nature. During one of the Thursday services, I told a story about this, and I'm not going to do that today, but I might do that at the end of the service if somebody is interested. The storm and the fish, that's the story about, and that's always, when people think about Jonah, they think about the storm and the fish. Yet in this chapter, we have the miracle of grace, which is the highest miracle. Miracle of grace, miracle of salvation. This passage shows the fullness of the resurrection of Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. As we read Jonah's message, one is struck by its straightforwardness. Yet for 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nobody in Nineveh could say that the message was not clear. And this is actually a reminder to us not to complicate, but to maintain the simplicity of the gospel. I was just thinking about this last night until this morning, and I was just asking myself, Elijah, I hope you are not complicating God's word in St. John's. And I was just thinking about my ministry in the last 15 years. So, 16 years. Think about what my messages have been, and whether I have tried as much as I can to be straightforward in the gospel we preach. It was simple, it was direct. The repentance of Nineveh involved the entire city, including the government. Each person was fully involved. In fact, it involved the children, just like Karen told us about the twinning. The twinning involves everybody, even Harris, who is the wee one. The smallest baby in St. John's will be involved in the whole process. So in Nineveh, the repentance involved everybody from the smallest to the oldest. They were all involved. The government was involved. It was prompt. They did not wait until the 39th day to repent. They didn't say, okay, he said 40 days. Let's wait until the 39th day and we can repent. Once they had the message, they bowed their head to prayers and they began to confess their sins. They took seriously the word of God. They acknowledged the power of God. They stressed the necessity for earnest supplication to God. They stressed the need to cease from sins, and they hoped for the salvation of God. From all of this, the wonderful message for us today is that if we turn from our sins, God will have mercy on us. Even if we have been as great sinners as the inhabitants of Nineveh or the woman as read in our New Testament lesson. Even though people have defined us, not because of who we are, but because of the heart we are putting on, neglecting other excellent parts of our lives. If we come to Jesus with repentance, he's faithful, he's just, he's able to give us a new beginning, fresh start. God desires to have mercy on us and is delighted when we turn to him in repentance. Amen.